a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station. It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
.97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Oh, hey, Ben.
Hey, Lloyd. Hey, I'm Ben.
How are you doing?
Yeah, that's right. I'm not either Scotty or Hans.
This is Jake and Ben Overtime.
Yeah, this is
what we're
doing.
Overtime. Jake and Ben Overtime.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
They're going to be back on the air in like 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
They are.
So don't worry.
A little snafu.
A little miscommunication.
But hey, you're going to get your Hans and Scotty fixed. I promise you.
They have a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk
about this new Big Ten deal that struck this morning, Lloyd. 7 years, $8 billion, and of course the big kicker, Lloyd, that I think everyone's going to keep their eye on, and it might put another halt on college football, unfortunately, for the next seven seasons or however long it takes to figure this out. The kicker that comes with it, that there's an escalator clause in it where if they bring in X amount of teams and certain teams, that number could climb up to $10 billion for the value of this deal. Of course, Notre Dame's going to be in that conversation. But the Pac-12 teams mentioned are Oregon, Washington, Stanford, and Cal. And look, two of those teams, Oregon and Washington, are still the major power players in the Pac-12 once USC and UCLA leaves. And if they don't want to sign, they don't want to sign on the dotted line for the Pac-12, it might cause some uncertainty for the other schools around the Utahs, the Arizonas, the Arizona States, and the Colorados to start looking around at where their lifeboat's going to come. And I didn't think that there was going to be a realistic shot that they were going to go over to the Big 12. But if that sword continues to hang over the head of the Pac-12 and you lose negotiating power, I think inherently that makes the Big 12 a stronger conference or at least a stronger team to negotiate. And if they're the stronger team to negotiate or stronger conference, and they can offer you a little bit more, even if it's not financial, which has been the big conversation, but safety, identity, a long-term existence, an affiliation that might not be there in 6 years, if you stick in the Pac-12, what will be the Pac-10, and it dips down to the Pac-6, maybe the Big 12 is not waiting for you then at that point. Or maybe they've got a new TV deal that doesn't have an escalator clause that doesn't allow you to jump in, and then you're floating in the Mountain West Conference. So if you say, hey, really, the Pac-12 and the Big 12 are probably sixes as far as conference strength goes, but one of them we know is going to be around in a decade, and we're not so sure about the Pac-12. Doesn't seem like a terribly difficult decision. So that's the big news locally that came out of the deal this morning that's finally announced. It's being split between Fox, NBC, CBS, and Fox Sports 1. Fox really got the big deal. They're going to have four of the upcoming seven Big Ten championships. Basically, every year starting in 2003 and going every other season. And then you're going to see NBC get one in 2026. You're going to see CBS get a couple of them, I think 2028 and 2024, I think is when they start getting the years. So that's where you're going to catch your Big Ten football. Other news that came out yesterday on this deal, as the Board of Regents started to meet in the Pac-12, and there was the big conversation between some of the power players there with the California schools. The estimation is that the $500 annual valuation the Pac-12 was going to get with USC and UCLA still in the conference, which split 12 ways, and you can do the math there. That's a pretty good haul. It's about $40 million a year each, is going to dip to about $350 million a year from their negotiating standpoint. And that's just with the loss of USC. You could add another 10% of that loss. That's about 30% with USC. You could add another 10% of that if you lose UCLA. So when you're looking at losing that much money, you know, that ends up being pretty significant. You're just over $300 million there being split between the 10 remaining teams. Again, it's $30 million each. It's not terrible. You're not, you know, you're not having to close the doors. You're not having to save your electricity. But it's not the average of $80 million it looks like these 16 schools in the Big Ten are going to get. And it does. It's going to force you to continue to battle uphill. Here's what I'm really curious about. For these Pac-12 schools that are bolting for the Big Ten, USC and UCLA, assuming that eventually UCLA finds a way to wiggle themselves out of this. Even if Oregon doesn't go, even if Washington doesn't go, even if we don't see Cal or Stanford, how soon, realistically, do you see UCLA competing for anything meaningful in football in the Big Ten? And to that point, I mean, because they haven't been doing it in the Pac-12. I mean, they just don't matter. The UCLA's fine. They're a top 50% team, but it's really close. I mean, they're a 7-5 team as often as they're a 5-7 team, it feels like. They're just not a real important team. So I don't think by jumping to the Big Ten and making the $80 million, they're getting any closer to competing. They might jump from the 40th best team or the 50th best team in college football up to 35, but that's kind of no man's land. I'm not sure that does a whole lot for you year in and year out, and I don't expect them to start making top 25 AP rankings every year just because UCLA is jumping to the Big Ten. But how quickly does how quickly does USC get back to the top? Does USC put themselves in the conversation with the Michigans and the Michigan States of the world who once every four seasons find a way to sneak up and outdo Ohio State? Can they get there? Or does this hurt them? Does this bury them in the middle class because they're trying to restart? They're trying to rebuild. They're trying to have more teams that they have to lap because they're not competing with Utah right now.
Yeah, in the end, though, they're USC and they have the talent. It's just been the coaching staff has been the issue, I feel like, with them. So is Lincoln Riley that guy?
Yeah, and maybe Lincoln Riley's the guy.
Maybe the thought is that he's the guy that's going to turn it around and...
We're here, Lloyd.
I got you. Look, sounds like they're here. Anyways, that's my thought. So that's kind of the feeling I have looking back. As soon as USC and UCLA jump, where do they fall in? UCLA, I don't think ever matters in the Big Ten. I'm not sure how quickly USC can get to the top, but I'm sure that's the conversation we're going to get with our guys, Scotty and Hans. What's going on, guys?
You got us all right?
We got you. Scotty, okay. You can hear us?
Yeah, I got you.
All right.
Thanks for hanging in there with us. We appreciate it.
I'm going to get out of your way. You guys enjoy.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There you go. Big thanks to Jake and Ben for hanging out with us for a little bit right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. Come by, hang out with us, and we are good to go, locked and loaded. Hans, your stuff working?
Yeah, everything's working, buddy.
All right. Here we go.
Let's we go. Are ready to rock and roll.
Lloyd, are we in our first segment, or do we need to go to break?
No, we're good. We're in our first segment. So, right. I mean, guys are feeling like you want to get to a starter, we can do that if you guys would like.
Well, let's do it. All right, Longer. Let's go.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup, presented by Peach Windows and Doors.
Gotta love it!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Again, live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. Come by, hang out with us. We got all kinds of gear we can give you, all kinds of free stuff. So stop by and let's go. Tell you what, it's a good day to be a member of the Big Ten as these universities are set to cash in hands with a big payday coming their way.
Huge, unprecedented, big-time numbers. Scheduling it to make sure that they're just in front of the SEC ESPN renegotiations when that deal finally expires. But for those of you that haven't seen it, you haven't heard about it, Fox, Fox Sports 1, CBS, NBC, the Big Ten networks, along with the Peacock, which is NBC Universal.
Yep.
It's the NBC Universal platform called Peacock. I think I'm familiar. Is that the one that had Yellowstone for a while?
You mean was it Paramount?
Oh, was that Paramount?
Or no, maybe it is Peacock. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't have it.
It might have been one of those two.
Yeah.
But all of those platforms coming together, all of them on a 7-year agreement, and all of them coming together for the total amount of $7 billion. Dollars.
And they didn't need ESPN money to get there.
Nope.
Everybody without ESPN.
Think about that, Scotty. Not a penny coming from the sports leader or what they call the sports leader. I think that they're turning into an unwatchable product. Very quickly turning into an unwatchable product.
Boy, I got some thoughts on that too.
Yeah. It's becoming unbearable.
Remember
sorry. I don't know what your thoughts are. That's my opinion.
Remember when Sports Center was like must watch TV?
Yes.
You had to watch it every night?
Yes.
I tried to watch. It was on the other day, and I'm like, this is trash.
It's horrible. It's an embarrassment. And I think a lot of what they do is a complete embarrassment. They've gotten away from – anyway, I don't want to go into it. It's not a good product, and I hope that it continues to go downhill because it's embarrassing. But as you just mentioned, they put all these platforms together for a 7-year deal coming up with $7 billion. So each of the platforms – CBS and NBC putting about $350 million per year into the Big Ten package, and then them coming to that billion-dollar agreement with those other platforms. It's truly an incredible mark. And if you are a part of the Big Ten, you are a part of big-time money now.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is cleaning up, and obviously it did not hurt for the Big Ten to be able to negotiate that with the LA markets. This obviously drew more money. Having USC and UCLA as a partner and being able to sit at the negotiating tables and say, I get it, we're a little bit of ways, but by the time this thing takes place, we will have the LA market. I guarantee you, having those millions and millions and millions of viewers help them construct a deal that would bring them $1 billion a year in revenue distribution. Now, couple things I thought on this, and Scotty, you can definitely jump in and correct me if I'm wrong here, but when you look at this number and you look at the amount of teams that they're going to distribute this amongst, adding now USC and UCLA and what you've got in the original Big Ten, you might kick a team out and you might bring a team in. You might get yourself to 20, but why would you move other than maybe reducing the share of the pie for those that don't help bring that $1 billion in revenue? Like, you could look at a couple of teams and be like, you're not really helping.
Yeah, why does Rutgers get to be a part of this? They're like, oh, we bring the New York market. Does anybody really watch you in New York?
Exactly.
Come on.
So I take the Big 12, for instance. There was a time where the Big 12 was actually a 10-team league.
Yeah.
And that 10-team league made an announcement as things were getting – really hot and heavy of, well, okay, fine, then you can't have a championship game. And if you can't have a championship game, you can't have divisions. And if you can't have divisions and you can't have a championship game, you can't have access to the college football playoffs. And the Big 10 or the Big 12 was like, you know what? Screw you. We got Texas and Oklahoma. What are you going to do? Screw you guys. We're going to stay at 10. We're going to share it amongst 10.
Yeah.
And that was the right decision because those 10, well, probably really three or four of the 10 were bringing the money. They needed the other six or seven to keep themselves as a conference, and they distributed the money amongst them. My worry is now you sit at the table and we all talk about, well, maybe it'll be 60, maybe it'll be 64, maybe it'll be 42. Well, I'm starting to think it's going to be cut down and trimmed and limited to the haves that actually bring in the money, and those that don't bring in the money or haven't brought the fame and the notoriety and the success, they're going to be on the outside.
Yeah.
And that's why we talk about the importance of Utah's success right now. Utah is making up ground, ground that has long passed them. USC has already made their hay. It was weird because I went back and I revisited Pac-12 championship seasons, and because I was going back to look for undefeated Pac-12 seasons in conference play. Had to go all the way back to 2010 to find the last undefeated Pac-12 season, and that was Oregon. And then you had to go back to 2005 and 2004 with USC, where both of those seasons were vacated, or wins of those seasons were vacated. Yeah. Doesn't really matter. They were an undefeated Pac-12 season. They made their hay. Utah's making their hay right now. I don't know if it's soon enough. Maybe it's perfectly timed. But Utah has got themselves in the perfect position right now. All they got to do is capitalize on it. They could get themselves to a college football playoff. It's going to take an undefeated Pac-12 season to do it. It's going to take an undefeated, really probably an undefeated non-conference schedule to do it. You're probably going to have to get yourself to 12-0. I don't know. Maybe 11-1 with the one being Florida loss, and Florida goes and wins the SEC. Yeah. Some crazy way. Or wins their division and gets to the SEC championship game. Or at the very least finishes with 10 wins. Maybe then. But there's so much Pac-12 hate out there right now that I could see every voter saying, nah, we're still going to take Alabama and Georgia. We'll leave them out. Clemson was good. We'll throw them in.
Yeah.
What's Oklahoma doing?
Oklahoma? Two losses? Okay, well.
Oklahoma? Oh, three losses? Well, how many did Notre Dame? Oh, Notre Dame two? Yeah, put them in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the margin for error is really, really slim. This would be a very good year for Utah to have a great year, because the focus. Now, I do believe that Urban Meyer in 2004 and Kyle Whittingham in 2008 were very key and instrumental for Utah getting the Pac-12 nod in 2010. Like, Utah needed to be a good program. But also, if you go back and you read what the Pac-12 was looking for in their expansion, they wanted to get TV sets. And that was a real key. Like, we got it. You know, there was a lot of distribution that Salt Lake brought to the table. That's what made Utah very, very attractive for the Pac-12. Also, the fact that Utah was pretty good in football, too. That was all very attractive for the University of Utah and the Pac-12. Okay, but let's take it one step further. And let's talk about now. Now, the love isn't necessarily as much in TV sets as it is tradition and history and all that other stuff, and quality of football. Nobody cares about the Tuscaloosa market. Nobody cares about the Gainesville market. Nobody cares about the Tallahassee market. What they care about is really, really good, excellent football. And it's your blue bloods right now that are driving things for expansion. That's why, even though now there was one market that elevated everybody, and that was Los Angeles with USC and UCLA. UCLA shouldn't be a part of anything. But they're in Los Angeles, and so that gives them a little bit of a head start. USC has some tradition.
It hooks that whole market.
Exactly. And so I understand the landscape of what we're dealing with right now. They want to bring in teams that can contribute to win right now. If this was 2010, but we're treating things right now, there's no way Rutgers gets an invite to the Big Ten. They were more concerned about TV sets. Now they're concerned about quality programs, and Utah needs to be great this year. And if you could string two back-to-back Pac-12 championships, two appearances in the Rose Bowl, hopefully a Rose Bowl victory on top of it, and who knows, if you're undefeated, a spot in the college football playoff, that would very much help your resume, because I don't think the Big Ten's done in this whole expansion process. I do think that both sides are going to try to get to 22 to 24 teams.
But they're going to be very picky.
They are.
Very, very picky.
But you can only...
And I could see them booting some people out.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's going to be some lawsuits involved there.
But I could see them coming to maybe one or two programs and saying, and I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's Rutgers. I don't know if they feel like they're getting the run from that New York market. I don't know. I doubt it's Maryland, but maybe you go to a Maryland, or maybe Minnesota's been great as of late, but I don't know if they've got the cachet. I don't know. Maybe not, Scotty. Maybe they do keep the entire package and add USC and UCLA. But I've got to imagine that those guys aren't sitting stagnant.
I would love to see them start booting people out. I really would.
I would too. I would too, because then it would give me hope that it would give me more hope that there's a potential slot for Utah and maybe even BYU at some point. So I don't mean to put a lot of pressure on the University of Utah, and as you and I found out, there are some pretty influential people at the University of Utah that listen to this show.
Yeah.
And I'd like to just tell them, hey, I apologize for what I'm about to say, but Utah, this is all on your back, man. You have to win.
It's not enough that Kyle Whittingham doesn't have enough pressure in just trying to win games and win conference titles. It's about, oh, yeah, and the health and future of our entire athletic program is based on your success this individual season.
It's true. This reminds me of the movie Gladiator, not the Russell Crowe Gladiator, but the Ryan Dennehy Gladiator.
I never watched the Ryan.
Why do you always go for that Gladiator?
With Cuba Gooding?
Yeah,
Jr.?
I know which one you're talking about.
I didn't watch that one.
Oh, anyway, so the short of the long of it, Scotty, they take Cuba Gooding Jr., who's a fighter, and they kidnap his brother, and they put a knife to his brother's throat, and they tell Cuba, you go into that ring and you win this fight or your brother dies. So Cuba goes in there, and the guys he's fighting is just too good. And Cuba's doing everything he can, knowing that his brother's life rests on his outcome. Utah's life is resting, I think, largely upon some outcome here. Now, I don't think they can do as much damage as they can do make up big ground. I don't think, let's say they end up the season with 10 wins, they win their division, lose the Pac-12 championship, and end up in a pretty decent bowl. I don't think that does as much damage as they go undefeated, they win the Pac-12 championship, they get a shot in the college football playoffs, would do good.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. This seems like
that makes sense to people.
No, I'm still stuck on the Cuba Gooding Jr. Gladiator, though. Like, that sounds like a straight-to-VHS show. Was it called Gladiator?
Yeah, it's Gladiator. I
that might have made it into the theaters. How often does Brian Dennehy not go right to theaters?
A lot.
Off the top of my head, I would say that it's probably you'd go Boys in the Hood and then probably Gladiator for Cuba.
I'd go Snow Dogs before that.
I mean, you got As Good as It Gets. You got Jerry Maguire.
Rat Race.
Oh, geez. No.
What? That's good.
No, that Rat Race is not that good.
He's really good in it. He's hilarious.
Snow Dogs.
He and Mr. Bean are the thing. They make that movie.
Oh, they carry it.
It's so bad.
Are we talking about the same
movie?
Yeah,
where they're all chasing like the same prize?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not talking Ratatouille.
And Mr. Bean's a narcoleptic?
Yeah, no, I know the movie. Mr. Bean and narcoleptic, that's all you have to read into it to know that's not a very good movie.
Whoopi was in her prime?
Oh, Whoopi was in it too, yeah.
But anyways,
Kyle Whittingham's got to have a good year.
Utah's in a fight for their life right now. Would you agree with that?
A
bad season, won't do as much damage as a good season will do.
I agree.
A lot of good.
Yep, spot on. All right, we're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. Come by. We got all kinds of goodies. You can come by and grab whatever you want off the table. Let's go. Let's have some fun. We'll be here until 3 o'clock right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Watch the breakdown.
It's the 8th annual Top 60 and 60.
3, 2, 1.
60 and 60.
It's go time.
Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah.
60 and 60.
As voted on by the local media and you, the fans. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60. Weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. On your home for the best college football coverage in Utah, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Woo! Woo!
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by You First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. The NFL, I think, wanted a whole year-long suspension on Deshaun Watson. But what's the next best thing they could get? Well, how about 11 games with his next game that he, the first game that he's available to play, will be against the Houston Texans.
Hmm.
This thing's dirty, man. This thing is so dirty.
Well, I saw you tweet that, and there, this isn't by coincidence.
No.
The NFL is still a money-making business, and they want Deshaun to return. Now, I would be I'm gonna say I'd be shocked, but maybe I wouldn't be. But I would be shocked. I don't know. I haven't seen what his practice opportunities are. I don't know if he can be around the team in the practice facilities through the 11-week suspension, but it'd be shocking to see Cleveland be week 11 with a starter, and then you're going to play the Texans, and Deshaun Watson starts that week. That would be complete insanity. You know what that would be? That would be 100%, that'd be the indication of this is as dirty as it freaking gets. You guys did this whole thing so you could line Deshaun Watson up against his old Texas team. Or his old Texans team. That's just disgusting. But how could they get him ready? How could they, whatever they're doing for those 11 weeks, how can they just, I mean, I guess it's the Browns and they could do whatever they want. But we're starting to see some of the details on this. If you didn't see this morning, Deshaun Watson is hit with an 11-game suspension, which will start with game one of this season. So 11 games would put him to week 12, which would put him to that game that Scotty was just talking about with the Texans, and a $5 million fine. From what I understand, there's $7 million that a total that will be produced through the fines, and it will be given to help fight against sexual abuses. So the NFL's trying to make something out of this, but it still feels like they fell well short. When you've got 24 women claiming what they've claimed, it's pretty tough.
So Deshaun Watson with his 11 games suspension. Now remember how they worked his contract so that you can only fine a player based on his base compensation. His base compensation this year is just a little over $1 million. And you're thinking, well, what about, you know, he's supposed to be paid $25 million per year on a fully guaranteed contract. That's 100% correct. But a lot of it is signing bonuses. It's a bonus, you know, a lot of stuff that he's going to be able to get.
Is it backloaded?
And he will
too?
Get paid. It's backloaded. But again, the whole contract is fully loaded. So remember, you can only fine a player on his one, on his base contract. Well, his base contract is so low, and that was done on purpose, that Deshaun Watson by missing 11 games, will lose a grand total of $690,000.
That's unbelievable. In comparison, I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, for you and I, that's a lot of money. But for an NFL player making $25 million who is going to be suspended for 11 games, who is accused of sexual assaulting 24 women, and granted he's going to get fined $5 million, and he's had to pay out in settlements who knows how much, how many millions of dollars.
Probably
but
not.
His actual hit on those 11-game suspension is only over $600,000.
A couple of different notes. Deshaun Watson has to comply with eval and treatment recommendations of a third-party behavioral expert in order to be reinstated, Scotty. His reinstatement is contingent upon his compliance with the treatment plan. If he doesn't comply, his reinstatement could be delayed, plus further discipline. This all according to Adam Schefter. So Deshaun Watson really is contingent on a lot of things for him to get back, but most of these things are very simple. Most of these things are some type of, you know, Zoom compliance.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, a quick meeting with so-and-so. And
that's all PR. That's like, oh, but we're making him do this and this. He's gonna show up at a 20-minute Zoom class. He'll cut a PSA for somebody, and then that's it.
Yeah. How long did Michael Vick get with the old dog situation? He went to prison.
Oh, yeah,
he?
For like several years. Yeah.
I don't know why that just jumped in my mind. A lot of it because of what you just talked about.
Michael Vick spent 23 months in prison.
I don't want to diminish what Michael Vick did. You know how I feel about dogs. And it's horrifying. Like, it's just devastating to me. How many dogs he killed and hurt, and the dog fighting rink that he had, and the money that was going back and forth and exchanged and all that. Probably deserving of a prison sentence.
He missed two full seasons, the entire 2007-2008 seasons.
For mistreating and killing dogs.
Correct.
Hmm.
And you're not going to find anybody on the planet who loves dogs more than Hans Olsen.
No, you won't. Nope.
But two full seasons.
No, all I want in my life.
And not suspended from the NFL, but actually behind bars in prison.
Yeah, freedom taken away.
Yeah.
The reason I thought about that, and I haven't even thought about it until you just said they'll have him cut PSAs. Because I remember when Michael Vick came back. And I believe Michael Vick did learn his lesson.
I do too. And Michael Vick was crazy in debt and found a way to pay back all his debtors. Like Michael Vick, if you look into it, and I know he did really disgusting things, but his turnabout and how he turned around as an individual and as a person is pretty remarkable.
I actually 1,000% agree with that. And I know a couple of things, and I've read a couple of things behind the scenes. A couple of things behind the scenes of what he's done. He could have filed bankruptcy on this used car business, and instead of filing bankruptcy, found a way to try to pay them a bulk back of what he owed them. Those types of things, as you were mentioning. There was some redemption there, some effort. So I do feel like he was reformed, and I do feel like he changed, and I felt like he deserved the shot that he got when he came back. I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, how do you buy your way out of this? How does Michael Vick spend time like he spent for dogs fighting, and the NFL is going to have Deshaun back here in 11 weeks with a $5 million fine? I don't know, man. It kind of takes my breath away a little bit. And I have to, every time I do this, I've got to step back from some of my opinion and say, all right, well, Hans, you don't know the details. You don't know.
I know.
You don't know the facts.
Okay. But here's what we do know. Let's talk about the facts, though. The facts are this, that the NFL was all like, he's got to be out another year. We've got to suspend him at least another year. And the judge said, or the mediator said, no, it's going to be six games. NFL appealed. And then now it's 11. And so the NFL was all like, what did Roger Goodell say the other day? That he was predatory, and he used all these horrific adjectives to describe Deshaun Watson. And you're thinking, okay, Roger, yes, that appears to be the case. Thank you for saying that, because we all feel this way. We all feel this guy's a disgusting predator of a lot of females out there that unfortunately went through hell because of Deshaun Watson. And so you're thinking to yourself, all right, Roger Goodell's going to fix this. Okay, well, it's 11 games, which is still more than six, and that's an improvement, but it's not a full season, and then it lines up perfectly with a Houston Texans game. That means the NFL's like, all right, well, we can't really fix this, so we're going to add a few more games onto it, but we are going to have his dramatic return to the NFL up against his former team that he manufactured a trade from. That's the NFL saying, okay, well, you know, why let a crisis go to waste here? Let's make a good opportunity about it. Let's have Deshaun Watson return against his former team. That'll bring the eyeballs to the set. Yeah, let's do that. That just makes it sick, and it makes the NFL seem compliant in all of this.
I saw the release that Deshaun Watson put out there. He said, I'm grateful that the disciplinary process has ended and extremely appreciative of the tremendous support that I've received throughout my short time here with the Browns. And this is what we need to take into consideration here, Scotty. I apologize once again for any pain this situation has caused, and I take accountability for the decisions I made. So what type of pain did you cause? What decisions are you taking accountability for? How bad was it? How bad did it get with these girls? I don't know. There's a part of me that's really bummed that there were settlements and silence has been bought. You buy somebody's silence, you buy their silence.
Yeah.
You know, and my guess is, my hope is, where it was this big a deal and this big a national story, maybe he does stop being a predator. Maybe. Maybe he doesn't.
Well, Cleveland, that's the one thing about being a GM, and you have to think about it. And I think college coaches have to think about this when they're bringing in guys for second chances. You understand you're bringing that player not just as a player but as a member of that community. And just be ready for that, because Deshaun Watson is coming to Cleveland, and he brings a reputation with him. And as a GM, if he gets sideways and there's more problems – and you realize as a GM, that girl was assaulted because I brought him to Cleveland. And are you ready for that to hit your conscience? And I think college coaches wrestle with that all the time. They bring in a player. Let's say a player got kicked off a team and had his struggles but claims I'm a better person. And you bring him into your community and on that college campus with a lot of vulnerable people on that college campus. And something happens, that's on you as a coach because you brought him to that university. So I know a lot of people wrestle with those kind of decisions on second chances versus are we just bringing a bad person into our community.
All right, so I finally found the detail that I was looking for. Again, this according to Adam Schefter. Deshaun Watson's 11-game suspension will begin August 30th on the NFL's roster cutdown day. He may return to the team's training facility and participate in limited activities on October 10th. And then on November 14th, he can resume practicing. And then Watson could play December 4th against the Houston Texans. Scotty, they implemented his ability to come back to practice for November 14th for a December 4th game.
Yeah.
Do the math on that. That's the perfect amount of practice time.
He'll be on the field against the Texans.
So we could already look at it and be like, all right, well, you know, week 12, it's against the Texans, his former team. That's more than just coincidence. What you need to look at is they're allowing him back to practice on November 14th for a December 4th kick. Oh, man. Okay.
Here we go.
Well, that's the way they want to handle it.
Yep.
What are you going to do? Not watch the product? It's easy for me to not watch the Browns.
Yeah.
I wonder how Browns fans feel.
They're fine. If he wins games, they'll be fine with it. I've told you this plenty of times. Broncos needed a quarterback. When he wanted to trade out of Houston, I'm thinking, all right, Deshaun to Denver. Let's go. And then all this other stuff starts popping up, and you're thinking.
But even then, like some of the early stages, it's like, yeah, well, let's get through this. But as you found out
and then more. 8 women became 12 women, became 20 women, became 24 women. And in my mind, knowing how desperate the team that I've rooted for and cheered for since I was in elementary school is in dire need of a quarterback, and your thought is, oh, my gosh, what is going to happen if the Broncos trade for Deshaun Watson? How am I, as a fan, going to handle that? How am I, as a father of an 11-year-old who's as big a fan of this team as anybody, and he's, hey, Dad, what? So why is Deshaun Watson missing the first 11 games of the season? How am I supposed to handle that as a dad and still say, yeah, but you know, he settled and, you know, he gave the women some money, so everything's gone, and he served his suspension, and it's fine. So go Broncos. I don't know how I'd handle that.
I'd like to say that it's a fine line, but I think it's very blurred when it comes to entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, as we find out more and more about Michael Jackson, and you start to get these documentaries and these individuals that went through it, and they're talking out about it, and then you flip on the radio, and there's Michael, and you're like, oh, man. I love this song.
Yeah.
You're singing along to it, snapping your fingers, and you're like, wait a second. Where is the line on entertainment? When do you take a stand? Because it's really hard. It's like we talk about with the Live Tour, when you get all indignant about it and start putting your hand on your hip and saying, well, they're taking blood money. Well, things are blurred, man. Lines get really blurred in the world of entertainment. There's a lot of bad people that we watch on the big screen.
Yes.
And, you know, we can sit and look at TMZ and be like, oh, my gosh, he went to prison again? Oh, he's out again. Oh, now he's flying around in a metal suit. Well, yeah, but he's redemption. Well, it's just crazy because it's such a blurred line of fandom and entertainment. And, well, does it even matter what he does in his personal life as long as I'm turning it on and he's entertaining?
Yeah. And somebody could say, well, you're still big fans of Tiger Woods. And I'm, yes, 100%. But in my mind, what Tiger Woods did was really a dirtbag thing to his wife and to his family, but everything was consensual with his side pieces, you know? And so I'm looking at that like, okay, well, that's how I can justify that, is because nobody was sexually assaulted. To me, that's my line. If you wanted me to draw a line, then yeah, it's sexual assault.
You know, the Kobe Bryant situation that happened in Denver?
Correct.
The Kobe Bryant situation.
That was sexual assault. I mean, and same thing. It appeared that there was a settlement, and that went away.
Did he serve suspension for that? Did the NBA suspend Kobe Bryant for that?
I don't think he did, actually. I don't think he did.
There is no easy way to have a conversation about this. And I don't think there's a wrong and a right opinion. People have to feel the way they're going to feel about this. The way I feel about it, I feel like the NFL missed.
Hands and Scotty, what you may have missed coming up next right here on The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
John J. Raja, national college football writer for CBS Sports. The top 25 poll is out with what you know is somebody wildly overvalued or undervalued.
It felt like the voters were unnecessarily scared to put Utah number 4. To me, that was an obvious choice. You look at the teams that are 4, 5, and 6 in Clemson, Notre Dame, and Texas A&M, and you can't compare what they have coming back to what Utah has coming back. Speaking of the state, honestly, BYU at 25, what they have coming back after 10-3 years, it just felt like there was a move to ignore some of these teams that had great seasons last year. So not a huge surprise. We see a lot of familiar faces in the top 15, but I think that a lot of this betting on brand name and helmets is going to probably not pay off as we get into the season.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Cheer, cheer, cheer.
That's right. Yeah.
Presented by You First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're having a good day. Time for what you may have missed right here on The Zone. In case you missed it yesterday, the Jazz schedule was released. Jazz have one of the hardest schedules in all of the NBA. Most miles traveled by an NBA team. Most tied for the most back-to-backs. It's almost as if, Hans, the NBA is saying, oh, you want to lose games?
Well,
let us help you.
Yeah. You don't want to be on TV? Oh, let us help you. You don't want people to see your product? We'll help you with that.
Yeah. You're already doing a good job with that. We're going to help you.
NBA TV's like, we don't know. The Jazz, who are they?
Yeah. Four only going from, I think it was 26 nationally televised games last year to only four this year. And three out of those four are on NBA TV, so I don't even know if that really counts. One game on TNT, no games on ABC or ESPN. And this is a Jazz team that the only game is on TNT is a home game against the Knicks, which is TNT thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe let's get out ahead of this and think if we can get Donovan Mitchell's return to Salt Lake City.
Roll the dice on that.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few things here that we need to jump into. We touched on a couple of them yesterday, but Scotty, I just hope Jazz fans understand that this is something fairly unprecedented for the Jazz. Something Jazz fans don't ever really have to go through, which is going to be a tanking season.
Yeah.
You haven't had to go through it, not to this extent, where the Jazz are going to attempt to lose 60 games if they can. 63, 64 games if they possibly can. They're going to attempt to lose those. And I went through and I had to just watch more Victor Wembanyama film this morning.
I saw you tweet that out this morning. That's what you got to do to keep yourself in a good mindset.
It's funny because I'm doing it for me.
Yeah.
So I tweeted out a couple of different clips of Victor to help people understand what this is all about. And the feedback I'm getting, Scotty, is you've only got 14% chance. Wait a second.
It's not great.
It's not great, but wait a second. When in your life have the chances forced you from giving it a try? I had less than 14% chance getting a woman like Amanda to marry me. Less than 14, probably less than one, really. But if I didn't take the shot, if I didn't extend myself and believe in myself and go for it, then I would have never ended up with a woman like her. I probably would have ended up with a woman like my first kiss that we've talked about, which went poor. It went very poor.
Talking about the jailbird?
Yeah, the jailbird.
Hey.
I don't want names mentioned because I know that she's got a family that knows how to make people disappear. So
yeah, you gotta be careful there.
Let's not throw out names.
I mean, you didn't know your first kiss was going to be a conjugal visit.
No, it wasn't. That's not funny. That's not funny. It's kind of funny. But just because you only have 14% shot doesn't mean you don't go for it. You go for this. It's worth taking a shot at. And if you miss on Victor Wembanyama, you still have three or four other 6'6" to 6'10" wings that are known for their defense, known for their perimeter shooting. There's still three or four other real game changers, or there's nobody that catches my eye like Victor, but the experts are saying there are three or four other game changers in this draft. So if you do miss on your 14% chance, maybe you get it on your second, and maybe you get that second pick and you can use this cash load of picks that you had to try to move into position if you see what you want. I don't think you're going to be able to get a team to move off Victor Wembanyama if they've got the first overall, but maybe.
Yeah.
If a team's got Kevin Durant or whatever, which that would be impossible. Well,
I was even looking at, and granted, there's a ton of mock drafts out there, but I was even at NBA, and you never know how the season's going to play out, but even NBADraft.net has Scoot Henderson going number one overall with Victor going number two. So the long season, you never know who's going to jump out of nowhere and be the guy.
You're right. Maybe a team that gets the number one overall pick, maybe they need a 6'2" guard instead of a 7'4" three-point shooting wing that defends like Rudy Gobert.
Yeah. That would
go watch his footwork. It's all at 975 Hans. I tweeted out an extended video of his defensive positioning and his lateral movement and some of his shot selection. The ability to take the shot off the dribble, his step back three. It's got all that on this video.
Hans and Scotty.
Worth tanking for.
Worth tanking. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the EKSL Zone, joining us now. The man, the myth, the legend, Rich is with us. How are you, my friend?
What's up, Rich?
Fantastic. Wonderful to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Yeah, likewise.
Always killer deals going on here. You got low financing on 14 different models. You've got the forever warranty. I tell people all the time, there is no like reason why you shouldn't come here. Like, I can't figure out. You got the financing, you got the warranty, you got everything that goes along with it, plus great Nissan models. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to come down here for a vehicle.
You know, we call that package turnkey.
There you go.
Turnkey. Just come in, and you don't even have to turn the key anymore. Press
the
button. And you're down the road. We take care of all the details. And the beautiful thing is, what you pointed out, Scotty, is that we get you the best deal on financing. We get you the best deal on the price of the car. We get you the best deal on a free forever warranty that comes with the car. We've thought of everything. Will we think of more? Yes, because we're constantly trying to do that. But for now, we're number one in the business. There's no tanking going on here right now. Okay? We're at the top of our game, and so our job is to give our clients, all of the listeners for the Zone, to come in here and make a fantastic deal on a car. And sooner, in these day and age, is better. The rates are still comfortable.
Yeah.
And still comfortable.
And people are hearing all that noise about rates right now. But the thing is, you can still come in and get a crazy, crazy, incredible rate that's going to save you hundreds, and in some cases, thousands of dollars.
Most cases, it's thousands of dollars. Yeah, and we have that ability. We're tied in with over 100 different banks. So we find the right one for you, one that makes you feel comfortable, a car that makes you feel comfortable. We're just comfortable. Okay.
Well,
just call us comfortable.
And that's
here at Tim Daly Nissan.
And I've seen we've had listeners that have come down here that have had such a great experience with you guys, and know that you treat them well. You respect their time. You respect their dollar. And that's what the thing. You just want to feel like people wake up and say, hey, you know what I want to do today? I want to go buy a car. And they're thinking, I'm going to have to deal with this and this and this. This, you guys make it as seamless and as painless as it possibly can become.
That's right. We're experts in the business, and one of our taglines here is our family serving your family since 1968 and doing it professionally and in a way that our customers love us, and we love them.
4528 South State Street, no-brainer. Tim Daly Nissan in Murray right here on the Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.